If you're a golf lover, join in on fun discussions about golf. From the perspective of two plugged-in Minnesota golf geeks, Brad Cole and David Branstad, this is 10,000 Swings.
Hello and welcome back to 10,000 Swings. It is Sunday, April 18th, 2021. I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branstad.
We've got a great show for you that might include the RBC Heritage, college golf, and the rich history of the Gopher Invitational, a preview of the 2021 PGA Professional Championship, and maybe even a breakdown of the best private and public courses in Minnesota. And next week, we actually have Blake Barrett, founder of IFA Agency, who's an agent for Adam Thielen and many other NFL players and former Gophers, who will be the guest for our show. Some football talk, some golf talk. It should be a fun night. But most importantly, first, this week, Jeff Kaiser from the University of Minnesota. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Great to see you. Really fun
welcome
to be here.
Welcome to have you.
Jeff, so tell us a bit about your role at the University of Minnesota and what you do for a living.
Sure. Thanks, Brad. I'm our assistant athletics director for creative branding and digital for Gopher Athletics. So kind of manage all of our visual brand for Gopher Athletics. We're really, really fun position. I'm working on more than 20 years now at the U of M. So fun job. Get to work with some amazing people and watch some great sports.
So, Jeff, am I correct? You're the longest standing AD there at the University of Minnesota?
Not quite. There are a couple ahead of me. There's some fine gentlemen named Mark Ryan and Jeff Seifertz that are actually ahead of me.
Okay.
I've been there. I'm probably top 10 or 15 at this venture, I would say.
And Jeff, tell us a bit about, so your day job, obviously you just talked about, but you do a lot of moonlighting for the university and for other businesses. Tell us about what else you do, because you have kind of a cool passion. In addition to being a pretty diehard golfer, tell us about the other things you do.
Well, sure. I mean, I think when you come up in college athletics, but for me originally it was college athletic communications, stats kind of become part of your life. From day one. So actually when I moved here, got connected with a bunch of people at the Timberwolves. My wife was working there at the time, and I got to know our friends Jeff Municki, people like that, and started doing stats for the NBA. So I've been doing NBA official stats for Wolves home games for the last, I don't know, probably 18 to 20 years as well. And I do that for Gophers as well, just because it's kind of funny to do all this digital work for the Gophers and then not come to events and be involved as well. So do stats for Gopher football and basketball as well too. So
that's awesome. And out of all of those jobs, what is the best part? Like, what do you enjoy the most? Like, what is like, this is the coolest thing? Is it, you know, we see you courtside for a lot of basketball games. That's kind of cool. Like, you can always stop a Timberwolves game or a Gopher basketball game. You usually see a courtside. But like, what's the coolest or best part about any of those jobs?
Well, I would say the best part about my actual job, it would be at the U of M, is just the variety you have working in college sports. I mean, we have 25 teams, and I would say the most challenging and best part about my job is getting to know all the different coaching staffs, the huge variety of support staff people that we have, and just kind of learning how to make each program be successful. I mean, it's very, very different working with our football program or our basketball program as opposed to our golf programs or our tennis programs or our gymnastics programs. They're all very unique. It's super fun. And so it's also just fun being around young athletic people as well too. So it definitely never gets boring. That's for sure.
So you grew up playing a lot of golf with your brother, and your brother's a golf professional, not a professional golfer sometimes, but he's a golf professional. So you grew up around the game. It's really in your blood. Over the years, what has been, obviously with you being a visual guy, when you talk about like different brands that are out there or different things you see out there, what is your favorite brand, golf brand logo? So you think of like all the different companies that are involved in the business, what's the golf brand logo that kind of stands out to you, or what are the kind of some of the top ones, since that's what you do for a living?
Wow, that's a fun question. I mean, obviously I'm very partial to Nike for sure. I mean, it's certainly the coolest, most unique logo in all of sports, that has been for so long. Obviously, and I work for a Nike school as well at Minnesota, and I went to a Nike school at Penn State as well. So I've always loved Always love the Nike logo, but there's some other just up and coming brands that I love from a branding standpoint. I mean, we're just talking about Grayson. I think they're a really cool up and coming brand with a really cool logo. But then again, some of the classic brands like the Titleist logo has never changed. It's very classic. It's never changed. TaylorMade's never changed. So I think those are great logos as well. But obviously I'm a big logo guy for sure.
Very cool.
If you guys haven't noticed, Brad's got the Nike logo very carefully placed in this in this screen.
Well, and obviously for those that are watching us on YouTube, you'll see we have some other logos as well. So we've got, our 10,000 Swings logo, the Score North logo, the Jarrett Yalen logo, and the PXG logo. And the PXG, I think the golf company is about 5 years old now, and kind of a cool new logo. It's very new to the game. But in my opinion, it really stands out, and there's some cool things that they've done with some of their different products. So, that's one that I think is kind of cool. If you haven't been yet, the PXG store at Southdale, proud sponsor of our show, and let them know that you heard about our show or about them on our show, and maybe you can try the new Gen 4 clubs. They've got some new putters, new wedges, irons, the whole deal out right now. Ready to fit you tomorrow. And unlike a lot of different fitting situations, they've actually been able to ship product fairly quickly. So, definitely give PXG a shot. They're doing some really cool things there. And check them out in Southdale, and for sure mention that you heard about them on our show. So, Jeff, we'd love hearing a little bit about your background and where you come from. So, one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on this show specifically is we want to talk about the RBC Heritage and this cool course they call Harbortown. Just a beautiful piece of property. And, I've never been there, but I've always loved the lighthouse logo and some of the different things going on. So, Jeff, can you tell us a bit about the course and some of the unique things about that course for those that haven't been there?
Yeah, well, first of all, anytime that you can actually go out and play a course that the tour plays annually, I think is a cool privilege. I mean, aren't that many of them that host actual annual events, right? I mean, you probably got Scottsdale and Sawgrass, Innisbrook, I guess Torrey Pebble for sure. There aren't that many. So, I think that alone makes it pretty special. But it's, the other thing that's nice about is that, I would say even an average golfer can go back and play the tour tees and it's not that overwhelming. You're probably playing from 6,900. So you can actually kind of visualize how it would be being a tour player out there. So it doesn't really favor anybody either. I would say it's angular golf. You have to put the ball in the right spin. There's some spots where you think you have a perfect fairway shot and you're trying to hit it around trees. There's a lot of trees there. And I would say that they do a pretty good job on the broadcast of explaining just how tight the fairways are and how small the greens are. It's probably about half the size, I think, of normal tour greens, I would say there. And there are some that are just, absurdly small.
Jeff, I'm not going to lie. I get, after the Masters, I get a little exhausted from golf. So I don't watch this event very much. However, this golf course intrigues me a ton. And I played a lot online with my kids on PGA Tour 2K21 or whatever it may be. It looks tight as can be. Is it that tight?
It is. For sure, Brandy. It definitely is. I would say that actually the highlight of the course is probably the par threes. Seven is a super cool hole with water, and it's a whole green is surrounded by bunkering. But 14 has got to be one of the most intimidating par threes, certainly on tour, if not that you'll ever play in your life. 17 is obviously spectacular going back out towards the water. But again, you got all kinds of issues there that, you can hit it into the sound there as well. But it's super tight. But I will say it's really hard to lose golf balls there because the trees there are like catcher's mitts. They catch everything and throw it down to the ground. So you're not gonna be losing too many golf balls, but you're going to be punching a lot out from the pine straw.
I'm just on TV. This golf course looks fantastic, and it's probably top 10 on my list. I want to go play, but holy cow! Every time I play it online, I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
If I can hit it this straight online, and this is what I'm shooting.
You know what's funny, Brandy, is that probably the most memorable hole there is probably 18. Right? Everyone knows 18. You got the sound on your left. You got the lighthouse that you're aiming at off the tee. the funny thing is you can't really tell that the fairway is like a football field wide. It is. You really can't miss the fairway unless you just, you know, rope hook one left into the sound. But then there's kind of a weird, the fairway kind of runs out at like 290, 300. Then you got to hit this approach shot into a green that's, you feel like you're hitting onto a, you know, like a dime or a nickel. It is so small, hazard left. So everybody just bails out right. But it's a really unique, super cool hole with the, you know, obviously the lighthouse there. So
you're assuming I can't hit it 300 off the tee?
Well, I mean, if you move up to a couple of tee boxes, which you might be doing, so certainly possible.
So is this correct. The type of place where you need to take a buddy trip? And do you just go there, or do you tie it in with some other places? And the backup to that, because this is, if I do any type of a golf trip, I got to know, like, what's the food situation like? So kind of two-part question, like, do you do a guy's trip there? Or do you, you know, is you go somewhere else better in that area instead? And then what's the food like? I have to assume in that part of the country, the food's awesome, right?
No, it's very good. I mean, it's a different place, right? I mean, it's obviously a little bit slower, older of a community, but it's certainly beautiful. I mean, you come over the bridge onto the island, and it's like you're in a different state almost. But no, I think it's worth it. I was fortunate. My brother was a club pro down there for a while, so I actually checked in with him on a couple of restaurants. I couldn't remember the names. But yeah, I mean, like, just the Harbor Town area. So that kind of community has three public courses that are all unbelievable. So you've got, obviously, Harbor Town, Dye Course, fantastic. I think Heron Point, which is just recently redone again by Pete Dye's people a couple of years ago. Great course. And then there's the Ocean Course as well. I think it just got renamed and redesigned by Davis Love. So like, you just, those three courses alone gives you a guy's or a buddy trip to play golf, right? And then the eating, fantastic. So if you like a low country boil or something like that, there's a place called the Skull Creek Boathouse that we always went to. Really, really good. But the funnest meal I think I had down there is a place called the Santa Fe Cafe, and they have a ribeye burrito, Brad. Okay. And it's an entire ribeye inside of a burrito. And you have, I mean, literally, like, it takes all that you have to finish it, but it's absolutely fantastic. They have all kinds of different food there, obviously, because almost everybody there is either, you know, retiring or relocating down there, so, or on vacation.
So I have to assume that there's more, like, this ribeye burrito, is it a flour tortilla? Is it I'm assuming flour? And yeah. There has to be more in there, right? Is there some cheese and rice or what's going on? A ribeye burrito? It sounds like you're going to die.
It takes you probably 45 minutes to consume it, but it's pretty darn good. I recommend it if you're on the island.
So I actually went to college for a brief second, one semester at Coastal Carolina University in Myrtle Beach. We had 125 golf courses within a very close radius, bars that didn't close, restaurants that were amazing. It is a disaster for someone who's 20, 21 years old to go to college. The food's amazing. Bars don't close, like I said, and golf everywhere. Not to mention South Carolina, by the way, is gorgeous. That is a great place to play some golf.
Well, that whole area, I mean, whether or not you fly into Savannah or you fly onto Hilton Head Island, like, that whole area down there is fantastic. Yeah, Brad, only one little slight drawback is that the majority of the courses there are private. But it's I think that's just the nature of the living communities there. But, you know, over the bridge, there's plenty of places as well to go and play. But, I mean, just that Harbor Town area is enough for a trip for sure.
So the light, you know, with you do what you do for a living, the lighthouse logo has to be like a pretty sweet, cool story, right? And oh, there we go. We got it on the hat, folks. We are now actually looking at some Harbor Town logo product on 10,000 Swings. This is fantastic. So you are what I would consider to be a logo aficionado. You are not afraid to share your opinion on a logo, which I think is nice because we know how you feel and, you know, you're, in my opinion, an expert. That being said, what, in your opinion, is like your top five list of best golf course logos? of logos that you've seen or places you've been, you know, place where you're like, man, that logo is just so sweet. Because in my opinion, the lighthouse is like right there, you know, right in that, probably in that wheelhouse. Your thoughts?
Sure. I mean, well, there's another, I mean, I grew up in the East Coast, so Northeast. So like the, there's another lighthouse course called Sankaty Head on Nantucket, which is a pretty special logo as well. There's a course called Catansett in Massachusetts as well. Pretty special logo. It's a seashell. I think that's kind of unique. I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously Marion's got a great logo. But I would say my number one, and I have this one as well for you guys. Nothing can beat Sleepy Hollow Country Club. The Headless Horseman is, I don't know how you beat it. So again, another course where my brother happened to work. So anytime he's back there, I make him buy me an extra hat because the Headless Horseman logo is so cool and so unique.
Is that in Mass or where is Sleepy Hollow?
No, that's in the Hudson Valley, so New York.
In New York, okay. Very cool. No, that's... It's pretty fun to talk about all those. And again, like as you watch golf, Jeff, I can only imagine what types of things you're thinking as you're watching the guys on tour and how they're represented with their different logos, etc. So we want to know, who do you think is, it can be one player or one brand and how they're represented on tour, like for your top pick or one of the cleanest looks. And then, like, who do you think has some of the most ridiculous branding, whether it's a company or an individual player? Like, because this is what you do for a living. Like, what are your top and your bottom for, you know, how they look on TV?
Well, I want to hear some of yours, too. But, yeah, obviously, I think the simple ones, the cleanest ones are the best. And, I mean, I think Tiger Woods was certainly the one that started that whole deal. It was just, yeah, I'm going to have the swoosh, and that's it. It always looked clean. And now, obviously, Rory's got that going, and bunch of other Nike players, which is always nice. I love how Harold Varner looks with the Jumpman stuff, the Jordan look. It's just awesome. I mean, he's the only guy, as far as I know, that's doing it, that has that deal. So that's pretty cool. But obviously, you know, I think Morikawa looks really good. DJ looks really good. You know, Billy Horschel, I've always liked kind of how his style and look and like his cleanliness on his deal. But I mean, there's plenty of bad ones, guys. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's gotten better over the years. It's not quite as bad as it was, like, mid-2000s when it was just, like, Embroidery Central. I don't know even how you even swung the club with the amount of logos scratching you. And, I mean, the amount of over-embroidery was quite something. I don't know.
And there's a pretty clear dividing line between the PGA Tour and the European Tour, right? Like, it seems to be a lot of the European players are way more of a, you know, NASCAR type look, where a lot of the regular PGA Tour guys, a little bit cleaner look. One that I've been really intrigued by so far this year has been the new look that Patrick Reed is going with. Has been quite interesting. I think he's got pharmaceutical company or something now on the top of his hat or on the front of his hat. He had Titleist for a bit and he switched to a pharmaceutical company. He's just got kind of a lot of things going on there. So that's kind of a unique look that he has, but it is funny when you see like at Augusta, all these guys are have like a very clean look. And then the European guys, whether it's Oosthuizen or whoever, right. That's got, you know, 5 to 6 logos kind of all over the place. You know, branding is just so interesting. Brandy, what do you think?
You know, the first person that comes to mind for me is Ernie Els. He's got SAP, he's got Echo, he's got Adams. Like, his hat's got 3 huge logos on it to start with before we even get to his golf shirt. But I think you're right. You know, I didn't really think about it. Is it a Euro thing versus an America thing? I guess I didn't really think about it that way, but... you know, he's also a TaylorMade Adidas guy with the umbrella. Like, he's got some other stuff.
The bag. Yeah. The multiple yeah, others like, in the bag. Yeah.
He's now, I get it. My gosh, I'm going to whore myself out to everybody who's going to pay me to do whatever I can to make a paycheck. But yeah, I never thought about that. It might be Euro versus Americans, a very different thing.
So Jeff, serious question. Let's say you go to Harbortown tomorrow, you go in the golf shop, What is your plan? Like, I talked about it when I went to Augusta. Like, I had kind of a budget, right? What is your budget? You're at Harbortown. And what's a rack rate at Harbortown? Is it 300 or what is it?
What do you mean by rack rate?
Just kind of their standard, you know, like it's a Saturday at 10 a.m. What would their rate be? Yeah. About $300?
I think it's a little more than that.
Four?
It's a little more than that, yeah.
So you go to a place like that and you're like, okay, I'm gonna be here once or maybe a couple times, but do you go in and are you thinking like, hey, I'm gonna get one polo, one hat, or you know what, I wanna keep it under, let's not spend more on the additional, you know, on the merchandise than we do on the round. Because recently when we had Jarrett Yalen on the show, I think he said he spent more in the shop at Pebble Beach than he did for the round, and we know the round at Pebble is like 600. So curious to hear your, you know, like, what is your strategy when you go in?
Is that maybe a better opportunity just to call Jarrett, like get him on the phone and say, hey, Jarrett, like, hey, here's the deal. I'm at Harbortown. How much should I be spending right now?
No, that's a great point. So, I mean, if you don't have a plan when you go into a golf shop, I suggest you write this down. Jarrett Yalen, 612-209-4523. www.jarrettyalen.com, JARRETTYEHLEN.com. He can do life insurance policies. He can do investments, you name it, but he can even help you with golf shop spends. And that, for a lot of people, becomes kind of like a shaky moment where, you know, you don't know how much room you have for your limit on your credit card. So call Jarrett. He'll walk you through it. So guys, tell us what is your limit? What's your strategy? We're going to finally answer this question once we got our Jarrett Yalen plug in. How are you going to handle Harbortown if you play tomorrow? What are you doing financially?
Well, first of all, Jared's great, and he manages all my planning as well, too. But there's no way I'm trusting that guy with my pro shop credit. He is as unreliable in a pro shop as anybody. So, like, you might want to pull that part out. The money, absolutely unbelievable, the best. But the pro shop, I'm not quite sure. I don't know. I've actually kind of wised up over the years. Like, I kind of go in now. Like, it used to be, yeah, you had to get a pull. I mean, like, the quarter zip or the pullover is what kills you, right? Then you're looking at 200 perhaps, you know, 250, where depending where you go, you know, I mean, that can get expensive. I'm actually like really into the, like, the course t-shirt now, or like the course long sleeve t-shirt. I'm going to wear it way more than I wear a polo. But to me, it's like the polo's out because you kind of have limited use and you have so many polos. I'm either t-shirt, long sleeve t-shirt, or occasionally a quarter zip or something like that. But yeah, you know, it's always kind of nice to go get like the, maybe like the ball mark or the divot tool or something like that too.
The poker chip.
Yeah,
the poker chip is a great, you know, universal. And that's one of those things, kind of like the Tervis tumbler, because, you know, for any gifts you're giving people, you don't have to worry about their size. So that's kind of, you know, the thing I always think about is the sizing. Now, Jeff, it's actually been rumored that you've got
pint glass.
Ooh.
Pint glass. That's a good one too.
Pint glass is a great call. I actually heard a rumor that you went to, we're not naming the name of the facility, but you actually went to a facility in recent years looking to buy a t-shirt and they didn't have your size and they just missed out on your sales opportunity. I mean, you went in fully planning on buying a t-shirt, they didn't have your size, and it's one of those things where, what do? Like, you know what you want, and you're not going to change what you want. So either you've got your mindset. I mean, or are you the guy that says, hey, I'm getting a t-shirt or I'm getting this brand. And then you get in there like, well, they didn't have what I wanted, but all of a sudden I bought 25 coffee mugs and we'll just call it good.
I'm going to walk out with something. There isn't any question. I'm going to walk out with something. But how do you not have the right size in t-shirts? Like, it's the largest available spot for markup too. You can charge $40 for a t-shirt that costs you $12. Like, how could you not have a nice assortment of t-shirts?
Yeah, you know, there's different merchandising plans out there, and you know that's just the way it goes sometimes. So I totally get it. But all right, so we gotta get to Harbortown. We have you on the show to talk about Harbortown, talk about the RBC heritage. This week featured arguably the most uncomfortable player on tour not wearing a hat, Stuart Sink. This guy has been on so many memes, so many GIFs over the years, you know, showing, you know, the five different shades of color that he has. I mean, him without a hat on is priceless. But how good did this guy look this week? First two rounds, 16 under, and no one finished better than 15 under for the whole tournament. I mean, that was, what a show.
So first of all, I hate wearing a hat. I do it because of what I do for a living. I know I have to. I hate wearing a hat. 63? Holy crap. That's some legit golf. By the way, let's not forget, this guy's made $40 million in career earnings. Like, he's not a rookie to the tour here. In fact, he's 47.
It's been a remarkable resurgence for him, right? I mean, yeah, you're looking at a guy who's won twice this, you know, this tour season. I mean, he was ranked 300th in the world before he won the Safeway. You know, he finished 12th at the Masters. I mean, he's kind of almost having a Kenny Perry resurgence kind of in his career. Like, super late in the deal. Like, I mean, he could backdoor a Ryder Cup here, perhaps. I mean, he is Kenny Perrying it this season.
That's interesting you pull out Kenny Perry, because I know you're a big transition lenses guy. So that's I'm glad that you made that call. It's interesting. So now we look at the Champions Tour this week. Steve Stricker runs away with it. Stuart Sink runs away with the PGA Tour event. Are we looking at a potential like 48 and 53 or whatever they are in ages for a partnership for the Ryder Cup team of Stricker and Sink, maybe to go up against some of the young guns from the European team? Is that a possibility?
It's possible.
Well, it's according possible. According to the rankings I just pulled up, it is. I mean, Webb Simpson's 34 in FedEx Cup. Which, by the way, Rory's 47.
Wow. That's Rory's not having his best year.
Has the golf community forgiven Stuart Sink for stealing the 09 British Open from Tom Watson? That's what I want to hear from you.
Oh boy, that's a really good question. No, they haven't.
I saw multiple tweets today with people that were saying, man, it's really nice to see this going so well for Stuart Sink. I hope Tom Watson doesn't show up on the back nine to rip it away and ruin our lives, because people were crushed. Like, people were actually mad at Stuart Sink in 09 for winning that tournament.
Biggest win of his life. People are mad at him.
Incredible. I mean,
didn't Watson hit 8-iron from like 180 yards on 18 and flew the green?
Over the green.
He was pumped.
Yep.
So it was really, really cool to watch Stuart Sink go out and win. So now he's won twice in like 7 months with his son Reagan at 24 on the bag. And they were mic'd up quite a bit today. And hearing the back and forth was like, it gave me chills. Like, that was some of the coolest stuff. And his kid was just keeping him dialed. Like, on 18, you know, he basically forced him into hitting the 3-wood instead of the 7-wood and just rip it and just go. Like, it was such great caddying, and you could tell they just had such a cool thing going, and he kept Stuart really light and loose. I mean, I don't think you would have told – pretty much no one expected to go 16 under after two rounds this week, and all he had to do is put it on cruise control the last 2 days, and his son, in my opinion, did a really good job of keeping him there. So it was cool to see the whole family was there. Just a very special win. And I mean, Stuart Sink's a guy that, you know, he's such a smooth swinger. When he gets going, you can definitely tell he's in a rhythm right now. So we'll see what the rest of the season brings for him. Pretty cool. Turns 48 in a few weeks here. And just, again, another one of these comeback stories. I feel like we've had, you know, a few of them recently, whether it be Lee Westwood, some other guys that kind of come, you know, back and forth, Jordan Spieth. So fun to see guys kind of get it going and definitely going in the right direction. Corey Connors, another one.
Brad, are you saying we have a chance still?
Saying there's a chance.
Saying there's a chance.
No, I mean, like I said, though, Corey Connors, what an unbelievable run that guy's on right now, right? And, you know, another couple of guys that have been on really hot streaks, we're looking at Brian Harman again played well. I think took 13th. Some other hot players right now, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Colin Morikawa. Cam Smith had a very interesting week of 62, 71, 74, 66. You know, Webb Simpson again played well. Will Zalatoris had it going for a bit, and then I think he struggled coming in. I don't know if you guys saw where he finished, but I know he was playing well earlier in the week. So fun to see all these guys kind of getting hot, and we'll see what happens when we get to the PGA in a few weeks here.
Zalatoris finished 42nd, looks like. So 71, 73 on the weekend. 71-73 on the weekend, yeah.
Oh, man. He was riding a high there for a bit. That was, but like DJ finished 13th this week. I didn't even know, I hardly even heard that he was in the field. You know, it was a very quiet top 15, you know, just doing his thing.
I didn't even know he was playing until we went through show notes tonight. And you're like, DJ, quiet finish. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
13. He's in there?
So
okay, cool.
You know, Jeff, one thing I noticed actually during the tournament, like, so Matt Wallace was in contention, right? He's kind of a fun guy. He's involved in all these European tour ads and stuff like that. His putting grip, Brandy, I don't know if you've seen his putting grip. He does the two thumbs together on his putting grip. He has a super wide grip. I had never seen it before. I don't know how you would necessarily learn that one, Matt Wallace. It's a fascinating putting grip. If you get a chance to go look at it, I know you teach so many people. It's a fascinating grip.
Two different. Thumbs together?
Yeah, his thumbs are actually, together.
I don't know it, so I'm going to go look at it right now.
Yeah, and then he puts his index fingers down the putter grip. So it's kind of like this. An interesting grip. I had never seen it before. Out of all the wild putter grips that we've seen, I had not seen that one before. So, but
I wonder what does he have a name for it? Does he call it like the spider claw? Or what is that? Like,
it's not really a claw. It's just like the two thumbs together.
I'm looking at it right now. He's got both thumbs together and both index fingers down the side. Yeah. So here's what I will say to that. It's an easy way to control the club face. Like, you can control how square that is. Depending on tension in your arms, it probably doesn't give you a lot of feel. But I mean, he's playing golf professionally and I'm not, so
yeah, they're unique anyway.
Yeah, right? No, that's interesting. So did you guys see some of the stuff they did the course at the beginning of the week to try to like Bryson proof it with some sort of like a net contraption, and then before they or fence slash net, and then before he even got there he WD'd? Like, that just has to be like, they literally are trying to Bryson proof the facility and then he WDs. Like, how brutal is that? And I'm assuming he was upset about last week, and that's probably why he WD'd, because I didn't hear like any official injury. I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, former champion, I figured he would definitely still make it. Jeff, do you have an official take on Bryson? Do you have anything that you'd like to share about your thoughts about what direction Bryson's going and how you feel about it for general golfers? Do you think it's good for the game, bad for the game? What's, you know, obviously it's been rumored that you and Bryson are kind of on the same workout plan. So, you know, I understand if you're fully in support of what he's doing, but can you tell us a little bit about your thoughts on Bryson?
Let's see, this is what the tour loves. They love this conversation about Bryson. This is why Bryson is great for the PGA Tour. He couldn't be better, but I think he's terrible for the sport, but that's just my personal opinion. Yeah, I think, obviously, his diet, ridiculous. I'm surprised his kidneys are still functioning. You know, the workout stuff is fine. But, I mean, like, think about it. Like, I don't think it's good for kids to go out there and swing as hard as they possibly can. And all that you pay attention to is math and numbers. It's just like there's no art to what he's trying to do. I don't know, like the science and the silly clubs that are all the same length. And, you know, I mean, it's interesting, and obviously I admire his work ethic and things like that. I just kind of can't stand him, but that's just and his silly hat too. I can't do the hat.
Would you say, Jeff, that Stewart Cink is the anti Bryson DeChambeau? Like, isn't that, and that's kind of what's cool about this course, right? Like, Stewart Cink and Bryson DeChambeau could not be further apart, but yet they're both of one at this facility. You know, Webb Simpson
Stu's
as well.
They're hitting bombs. Stu's hitting bombs, as Granny was saying, but before we got on, he's averaging 305 off the tee at a course where the ball doesn't roll. So, you know, I don't think Bryson's the only one hitting long drives out there.
So, all right. So, Jeff, here's where I'm going to disagree with you for a second. Is I think Bryson is actually good for the game of golf. Good for the game, whether you disagree or whether you agree with him, we're talking about him. But for kids, if you look, especially young kids, hit it as hard as you can and learn how to do that early. Because if you don't learn how to do that early, guess what? You're going to turn into the journey of what Bryson's been doing.
Interesting.
But it's a fun conversation topic. I will definitely say that, but for sure.
So speaking of getting jacked, Did you guys see the video of the dads fighting this week? I heard it was supposedly like a fundraiser that went awry, and there's these dads out there taking shirts off and going at each other. The one guy goes and grabs the pin and then tries to crack the other guy with the pin. Like, so I don't know that I've ever seen like a full out brawl like that on the golf course. I've seen a lot of verbal altercations that have escalated. But dude,
the guy took his shirt fully off, went and grabbed the flag stick, and then went back over to whip him.
That was unbelievable. Like, have you guys ever seen anything like that, or any kind of like a golf course brawl, or is this just like, it just seemed crazy? And this was at a fundraiser.
I've seen one fist fight on a golf course. Everything else has been verbal.
And where was
I'm
this?
I'm not going to release the information of who it was or where it was, but I have seen one fist fight.
Never seen one.
The old guy won.
And any good verbal altercations, JK?
Gosh, I don't know. Like,
have you ever seen any veins popping out of foreheads, or you know, some screaming? Because I've seen some of that.
I mean, I've seen some mistakes happen and people get hit and things like that, but I don't think I've ever like been involved in a golf course altercation, or actually wouldn't. Maybe I'm just playing with good people. I don't know, but I've never seen one.
So you do play with a decent amount of nice people that I feel are not going to go down that road, but it happens. And speaking of like things you see on the golf course or looks on the golf course, Cam Smith, I'm never going to stop talking about this look, and actually surfaced this week. I think Shane Bacon was tweeting about it and some others about getting Cam Smith, and they actually took like players on tour, Bryson, Rory, Brooks, Jordan, and they kind of gave him the Cam Smith makeover. So they added the, you know, the kind of the crustache and the mullet. And what is your thought, Jeff, on both the look that Cam Smith is rocking, and then what would you look like if you were Cam Smith?
Wow. I mean, this is coming from a guy who can't go more than 3 weeks without having a haircut. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily the one to ask, but Cam Smith's great. I mean, they had video of him fishing while he was out at Harbortown, just throwing lines in during the practice rounds. Like, he's great. I mean, he's hilarious. And I don't know that I could see myself rocking any of that, but mad respect for him pulling it off.
He was a guy, you know, when he kind of burst onto the scene a few years back, like, he looked like he was like 15 years old. So I almost feel like he's kind of doing the Joe Dirt just to be like, hey, I'm an adult, you know, like that's because he said his girlfriend doesn't like it, his mom doesn't like it, but all of his buddies out there just think it's a hoot. And I think it might be partially at this point, like, he doesn't want to jinx it, right? Like, this guy's on a heater. Like, he had a couple of really bad days this week and still finished top 10. Like, he is just rolling, and I feel like he's afraid to cut it at this point, which, you know, maybe he should play baseball because those guys, that seems to be more superstitions there. But would you ever – so, Jeff, is there ever a time in your life where you were playing so good at golf, you're like, hey, Leah, I just can't get a haircut? Like, I just broke 75 the last three rounds in a row. Like, I just can't get a haircut? Or are you not prescribing to the just let the mullet flow? No,
let's take that to a different story. Have you played such good a golf that you can't take any superstition to a different level, that it just keeps going? I've done it. I've got to have the same, I mean, go back to the pre-shot routines, I've got to do the same thing every single time. Have you guys done it where it's like, I'm playing really good, I've got to keep with this same superstition, the same pre-shot routine every single time?
Not so much for me. The only superstition I have is I refuse to play somebody else's lost ball. I won't even pick it up. Like, I'm not – if I find a ball in the woods, if I find a ball in the water, like, you know, I won't pick it up. The ball was lost for a reason, and I don't want anything to do with it.
That's quite the superstition. So you'd rather go buy new golf balls than use whatever 100%. You found. Yeah, it's there for a reason. Let it be. It's done. Yep.
The golf industry loves you for that, Jeff.
Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm. So speaking of golf balls being lost, we have to talk about this story that came out from the European Tour this week. And I only know it because Eddie Pepperell tweeted about it. Eddie Pepperell, another one, he might have already had some – Eddie Pepperell might have already been Cam Smith. I feel like his look is kind of similar to the flow that Cam has going. But Eddie tweeted today about Thomas Detry. And so I'm like, well, geez, I have to see what he did. So they're playing the Austrian Open this week, and John Catlin beat Maximilian Kiefer in a playoff on the fifth playoff hole. And I do want to note that Maximilian Kiefer has to be notable for best tour names. But they're on the fifth playoff hole, and it's a par three, and Catlin makes a bogey. Maximilian made an eight. And I'm like, geez, that's not good. Well, I'm looking more into this Thomas Detry thing. Thomas Detry on the front nine made an eagle, a couple birds. He's like two or three under. Goes to the back nine.
He eagled his first hole.
Yeah. Great start, right? And a couple more birdies. He shoots 49, 33 on the front, 49 on the back with three birdies. He made on the two par threes, he made an 8 and a 10. And the crazy part is he shot 82 today to finish the tournament. He still didn't even take last place. He still beat someone else with, you know, a 10 and an 8 on the par threes. I just thought that was absolutely insane. And Eddie Pepperell had to let him have it, which I think is kind of funny when one of your fellow tour competitors just needs to let everyone know that you had a bad day.
So my nickname in college playing golf was Double D because I couldn't get through a round. Not every round, but I was notorious for having double digits on one hole every single round. It'd be... I'll never forget a par three. I don't remember where, Rochester, Ridgeview, somewhere like that. And I took a 10. It'd be 15 pars, a couple birdies, and a 10.
So wow. Is this like a 10 and a par three? So draw that up for me. Is that like three balls in the water and then yep. pull it together? Okay.
Yep.
And is this a hole that's similar to like 17 at Sawgrass? Because I didn't know that Rochester or Ridgeview had any courses that were or holes that were that
no,
tough.
No, I don't know if it's Rochester or Ridgeview or where it was, but yes, it was. It's water left. It's I hooked it three times and plunk, plunk, plunk.
Maybe after the first one, you go a little weaker with the grip, just a thought.
Yeah, no, I was in college. I was 21 years old.
Making good decisions, just like we heard about in South Carolina. That's awesome. Exactly. Should be a good future for your sons. So, Jeff, one of your passions is music. And next week we have the Zurich Classic, which, in my opinion, is a very unique tournament. It's a two-man event, only two-man event on tour, I believe. And everyone gets a walk-up song. So if you're playing in this tournament, Jeff, two questions. One, who is your choice? You can pick anyone to be your partner. Anyone. It could be a good buddy. You name it. Someone from childhood, someone that's gone, whatever it may be. Who's your partner, and what's your walk-up song?
Wow. Well, first of all, the Zurich Classic is a great event, isn't it? It's something different. My teammate would have to be my brother for sure. Super fun to play golf with. He's obviously a pretty darn good player himself. If it was a tour player, I'm kind of leaning Rory or Max Homa, I would say, would probably be the two guys I want to be my teammate. But yeah, certain if it's that, he'd be my brother. But song, yeah, I thought about this one, Brad. You know, like I'm obviously like a hard rock metal guy for the most part, but my favorite band is 311. So I think you're playing golf, you want good vibes, you know, something fun that's going to be in your head. I mean, I'm always playing golf. I always have a song stuck in my head. It's anytime, especially when you're walking, you can't get it out. I'd probably just pick something like Sunset in July by 311 just to be good, happy vibes thing that would get me through a round of golf. So,
do you think it's going to take Rory through a round of golf, though?
Well, I'm not worried about Rory. I'm worried about myself.
Brandy, what's your answer?
I literally this thought has been in my head for a year. We've talked about this last year when we were briefly on the show before we got cut off, and I thought Sister Christian was gonna be a walk-up song. I am now convinced it's Jukebox Hero, and I'm gonna walk up there with a golf club in my hand, ripping that guitar, and that is it.
I like it.
Good voice. Who I play with, I don't care.
So for me, I'm picking my dad, or if it can be someone from the tour, I'm picking Tiger. And I've decided my official decision. I went back and forth on this, but Enter Sandman would be my walk-up song. So I think that would get the people pumped up.
Yeah, and, see, Munichy kind of took the thunder from my original one that I wanted. He took Master of Puppets, and oh man, ticks me off. I wanted Master of Puppets.
I just feel like any kind of hard rock, Metallica, any of that would just be fun, just to get people jamming. But you could have a lot of fun with some rap songs. I was thinking like All I Do Is Win could be a fun one, you know, to get the people all pumped up. You know, the hands go up, down, up, down. And pretty much anything that you
hands
know you play
go it, up. And they stay there?
Exactly. You know, basically anything that we would have at a Gopher football game, you know, something like that to get the people all jacked. So it will be interesting this week to see, you know, with the fan rules, et cetera, with COVID and how that affects the, you know, the walk-up music, because it's not exactly the same rock concert they originally planned it to be. But it should be fun. It's a different event. I like that the tour it has tried something outside the box, and it seems like a lot of the guys enjoy it. I have to feel like it really creates a lot of tension on the whole who picks who for a partner, right? Like, don't you feel like that's one of those things? Like, you know, you're in a group text and it's like, let's say it's Keegan Bradley, Ryan Palmer, you know, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, you know, and Keegan maybe fires one off and says, you know, Hey Jordan, do you want to be my partner? And, you know, he's like, let me see if Justin's in or out. Keegan, you can be my backup, you know, if JT's not playing.
You know, that's a good question. How does that conversation start of who you're playing with? Is it a text like, hey, I kind of want to have you as my partner this weekend? When does that conversation start? Who does it start with? And how many times do you get denied before you actually get who you want to play with?
Yeah, this could be a really good 30 for 30 short, I think, on like how these pairings are chosen. Like, I saw that Tony Finau and Cam Champ are, I mean, ooh, like how far are these guys going to be hitting the ball? I mean, that is a fun one. So I want to watch that group for sure.
I feel like Tony Finau's walk-up song is like Teach Me How to Dougie or something like that, right? Like, because you know the guy can dance. And I've seen a couple times him pull off some moves. So I could see him Teach Me How to Dougie. That'd be awesome. That could be some fun. So, well, Jeff, one of the things that we really wanted to break down with you is the Gopher Invitational. So recently, Angus Flanagan played on the PGA Tour, had his coach, Justin Smith from the U, caddying for him, and immediately Colin Morikawa saw him. This is at Riviera, at the Genesis. Saw Justin, saw the Minnesota logo, and talked about how much he loved the Gopher Invitational. So you being the guru that you are, tell us a bit about how the Gopher Invitational got started. And if you could walk us through, because you have just a crazy wealth of information on this, being the stats guy, tell us, you know, some of the players that have played recently, because I think a lot of people don't realize how much talent comes to Minnesota every fall for this event. And it's nuts. If you look at, like, probably, I guess right now, 10 of the top 30 players in the world have played in this event.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, first, it started in 2005, developed by good friends Brad James, who's now the running Golf Australia, and Andrew Tank, who's the head coach at Iowa State. And like in 2005, they basically wanted to bring the highest end possible college tournament to Minnesota, and they wanted to emulate a tour event so guys could kind of learn how it was. And they went, and it started at Spring Hill. I think it was for the first 7 years at Spring Hill. So teams got to come and play Spring Hill. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful, hardest golf courses in certainly in the state, if not the Midwest, right? So they had like the fitting van there first couple of years. They had gallery ropes. They had, and we actually were, so I remember year one, we were one of the first events to do live scoring on the course. It was 2005. We were literally doing it with walkie talkies, guys. It was ridiculous trying to keep up, and you were putting all the scores in the golf stat, and you were kind of concerned that they were going to be wrong. So we had to wait for the scorecards to actually come in to confirm them, obviously. And there was obviously some small inaccuracies, but this is, you know, 2005. So, and obviously since 2013, I think it's moved to Winsong, which is obviously an incredible golf course as well. So it's always been a key priority of the coaching staff. So it obviously started with Brad and Andrew, and then John Carlson certainly took it to another level. It was very important to him, and now obviously you have two alums in Justin Smith and Matt Raichu who continue to make it want to be the the premier event in college golf. And, you know, despite the fact that it's in Minnesota in the fall, it's annually between about 10 and 20 as far as the hardest field in college golf as well. I think next year it's slated to be about 16th hardest tournament. I mean, so always a great field. And I will tell you, like, yeah, if you want to go watch good golf, that's free, and you get to walk Windsong, which is a great spectator course. There's so much space to walk around. I mean, it's free. Go out there and watch it. I actually prepared this for you. 2012, okay? This is the last year of the event being at Spring Hill. Okay, I'm gonna give you the top finishers in this event. The winner was Corey Connors. You were just talking about. He won it back-to-back years in 12 and 13 at Kent State. Tied for second, Michael Kim and Max Homa from Cal. Fourth place, Brandon Hagee from Cal. Fifth place, Bryson DeChambeau from SMU. Sixth place was Victor Perez, who was just playing in the World Match Play. He tied with Harry Higgs and Sebastian Kaplan, who are New Mexico and SMU. 19th place, Abe Anser, Oklahoma. 22nd place, Eric Van Ruyen, as you know, from Minnesota. And 41st place, John Rahm from Arizona State. How about that field? So it's, you know, I think 24 players who have had tour cards have played in the event. So it's basically one or two a year. And obviously, I think Morikawa is probably the biggest name maybe now. Him and Rahm, probably the two biggest.
Bryson.
All major champions. And there's a lot of other – I mean, there's a lot of guys in the Korn Ferry Tour right now. I think Max McGreevy, who just won on the Korn Ferry Tour, he played in it. He actually won it a couple years ago. Grant Hirschman did too. So, yeah, there's a lot of it's a great event.
I'd completely forgotten about Rahm in that event.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
That's really impressive. And, you know, a lot of good things happening at the U right now with the golf programs. So very exciting to go out and watch that event. And I believe we have, is it the Annika Invitational this year on the ladies' side at the Royal Golf Club?
Yeah, they just announced the field for that thing. That's going to be that's annually a top 5 to 8 event as far as schedule strength. It's very difficult event. Obviously, Annika's presence certainly brings people in, but yeah, that's at Royal Club. Again, awesome place to go watch, easy for spectators. And the women have usually had the Minnesota Invitational as well too, which has been in Minnetonka. So these are unbelievable events that are all in the Twin Cities here.
Very cool. And I saw the ladies this week, they played at Indiana Invitational. I think they took 9th out of 16. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So continue to trend in the right direction. But the guys had a tie for first and pretty awesome, down at Nebraska at the Get Her Done Invitational. Angus Flanagan wins the event. Unfortunately, he makes a bogey on the last hole, but just an incredible final round. I think, would he shoot 6 under today?
Yeah, 66, yeah.
So incredible Angus to go back-to-back wins the last 2 weeks. He's top 10 now. Wins. Top 10 in the PGA Tour University. So looking at, you know, some conditional status and McKenzie Tour status, if he stays in that kind of slot there, maybe potentially to move up to Korn Ferry status if he gets to the top 5, correct?
Dude,
it's true, yeah.
This guy's legit. I had the opportunity to watch him play a little bit of golf last week. He is legit.
Yeah, and it's fun to watch him hit balls.
So is the whole Gopher men's golf team. I think this is the real deal. These guys are good.
Yeah, it's for sure. Obviously that's Angus's fourth win as a Gopher, and it's a fun little note for you. The last guy to win 4 career events at the U of M was his head coach. So it's kind of a fun little note. And that was actually, I think, the second time that we won an event with Justin as our coach. So it's great for the whole program, trending up for sure. College golf, really underrated, to be honest with you. And I'm glad the Golf Channel is showing more of it, men and women.
Speaking of the Golf Channel, I don't know how many people watched it last night, Saturday night, but Lydia Ko hasn't won in 3 years and put on an absolute clinic. 28 under, just destroyed the field. I think one of the quarter sisters was right by her going into the final round, right? And then she broke off in the final round, just kept it going. At 28 under, I think 1 bogey in 72 holes, like just an absolute show. Very impressive. So kind of cool to see that come out of literally nowhere.
So I'll be completely honest, I did not watch any of that event. I was filled with football with the kids and baseball with the kids this weekend. But my oldest son, Aiden, comes up to me and goes, "Daddy, this girl's 28 under par. How is that possible?" I'm like, "What? She's 28 under?"
Brandy, that last group, just watching that last group with Ko and Korda and like just the stripe show that they're hitting. I mean, the swings are freaking perfect. It is so repeatable and so fun to watch too. Yeah, but Lydia Ko, I mean, she's doing same as Jordan Spieth and Matsuyama at this point, right?
I saw
a great player who's come back.
I saw a swing comparison of the final two, and boy, their positions at impact were amazing. Yeah. And so I guess I get it, but like 28 under? Holy crap.
Unbelievable. That's a lot of birdies. So, Jeff, one of the things that we've done since we've come back on, since our pause during the pandemic, we've really tried to talk about local businesses every week and some sort of a local business that we've supported one way or another. And obviously, you know, we have a very strong relationship with both PXG and Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual. But other local businesses on top of those two that we've been supporting. So every week we pick at least one local place that we supported. I did my normal this week, but I did branch out. So on Tuesday night, we went to a place in downtown Anoka called Jelly Bean and Julia's. It's a new barbecue place right on Main Street in Anoka. So kind of if you go across 169 there, go right before you get to Highway 10 towards Greenhaven. And if you like barbecue and unique foods, Jelly Bean and Julia's, really, really good food. We had their fried chicken special along with some mashed potatoes and some sides, and it was out of this world. So very cool place in Anoka, Jelly Bean and Julia's. That's where we tried this week. How about you, Branny?
So, Brad, I'm going to highlight a place I know you love as well. We did Sweet Taste of Italy. Their spaghetti is phenomenal. I've never had their fettuccine before. Just had it this last week. It was amazing. Cheese bread's always good, but their spaghetti is absolutely great. So Sweet Taste of Italy in, technically it's Brooklyn Park, I believe.
610 and Noble.
Yep, 610 and Noble. It's awesome.
Kaiser, how about you? Have you recently been able to go out and try any restaurants or local businesses that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I mean, I got to talk about it. Anytime anybody's on campus, I mean, you got to go to Tony's Diner. Like my guy Tony, that place, it's one of the few like non-chain places left around that whole area between Stadium Village, Dinky Town. Food's amazing, coolest people, and I mean, obviously I go there all the time when I'm actually at work. And actually during COVID, when we were working basketball games, we would go grab Tony's and bring it to the arena and just, you know, sit there killing time after our COVID tests, eating a meal. But you got to have, my thing there is the Mediterranean omelet. So it's an omelet with Euro meat in it. Now it may sound weird, but you got to try it. Tony's Diner.
Very nice. No, I actually had the wonderful opportunity to try Tony's Diner during your 40th birthday party, and it was quite the treat. So
he catered it. That's right.
That was my first experience, and I've been back since. Very very cool spot there in Dinky Town. So, Jeff, we can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Really appreciate it and all your insights. Some really cool information that I don't think enough people know about the Gopher Invitational, how many studs are coming into this state every year. And again, with the Annika now, very cool on the ladies' side as well. So go out and watch golf, Minnesota. There's some really cool talent here all the time, and I think the price is right too. So very cool experience, you know, to be able to see those athletes come up. So thank you so much for your time. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual and PXG, the new PXG store in Southdale. As always, you can connect with us via email at 10kswings@scorenorth.com. Please subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Score North, and give us a 5-star rating. For episode 9, we'll actually have Blake Barrett's on the show talking about some football, some golf. This guy has an incredible story working with a lot of the top college players, a lot of the top NFL players. and also being a big golf fan. So should be a lot of fun. We'll be able to break down the Zurich Classic with him and maybe find out what his favorite walk-up song is. So until next week, friends, I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branstad.
Cheers.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.